First, Rupert Murdoch's News Corp paid $580 million for MySpace in July. Then Google picked up YouTube for $1.65 billion. What these two highly strategic companies spend more than $2 billion on is a couple of empty vessels, brand-named, centralized repositories for whatever their members decide to upload. And the material in those vessels is user-generated content, the paramount cultural buzz phrase of 2006. I prefer something a little more old-fashioned, self-expression. Whatever you call it, this is the year that the moguls and individual web users agreed that this stuff demands attention. It's on websites like YouTube, MySpace, Pure Volume, GarageBand, and Metacafe. It's homemade art independently distributed and inventively promoted. It's blogs and open-source software and collaborative wikis and personal web pages. It's not just the internet that makes this possible. It's also the availability of sophisticated recording and editing tools to every home computer. The results are often inept, but every so often they can be inspired, or at least worth a mouse click. The tech oracles predicted long ago that by making worldwide distribution instantaneous, the web would democratize art as well as other discourse. Why keep your creativity, or the lack of it, to yourself when you can invite the world to see? Every so often, the world notices. English rockers like the Arctic Monkeys gained their following by making their music available free on MySpace, and they ended up with a British number one album of the same songs. They're the exception, though. There is real talent out there, if you can find it. On the video side, there are also a lot of clever novelties and gotcha moments. Users generate all sorts of recombinant art, too. Parodies, mashups, and juxtapositions. Now that they have the tools, users generate a lot of backtalk. Surfing YouTube can be a survey of individual reactions to pop culture. Try searching for Justin Timberlake on YouTube to see all the loving and snide variations on his single Sexy Back. Copyright holders might be peeved, but they might also appreciate the attention. Those parodies, collages, remakes, and mismakes are unvarnished market research, a way to see what people really think of the product. The amateurs may seem irreverent, disrespectful, even parasitical, but they're confirming that the pros came up with something durable enough to demand a reply. Without icons, iconoclasts would have no one to mock. For musicians, the internet has become an incessant public audition. What once was winnowed down by A&R departments, and then culled again by radio stations and other media, is now online in all its hopeful profusion. Individually, the hopefuls can't compete with a heavily promoted major label star. But collectively, they are stiff competition, for time, for attention, and eventually, for cultural impact. Pop culture was never completely monolithic. There must be someone, somewhere, with no opinion on Michael Jackson. But all the self-expression makes it possible to have a culture composed of a zillion non-intersecting mini-cults. That fragmentation is a problem for giant entertainment companies that are built on selling a few blockbusters to make up for a lot of flops. But let the business take care of itself. It's the culture that matters. Luckily, there's a psychological limit to how splintered a culture can become. Humans like to congregate. It's no wonder that sites featuring user-generated content prominently display their own most viewed and most played lists. Humans also like to share what they enjoy, hence all the user-generated playlists at sites like Amazon or eMusic. The choices aren't made by companies desperate for profit this time, but by individuals with time to spare. All those self-appointed tastemakers are helping the media conglomerates outsource a very time-consuming job, selection. The world of user-generated content is also one of user-filtered content. There are even sites like Elbows, ELBO.WS, that tabulate songs found on music blogs, finding yet another top 10. The open question is whether these new, quirky, homemade filters will find better art than the old, crassly commercial ones. The promise of all the self-expression online is that genius will reach the public with fewer obstacles, bypassing the entrenched media. The reality is that genius has a bigger junk pile to climb out of than ever. The entertainment business is already nostalgic for the days when it made and relied on big stars. Parts of the public also miss a sense of cultural unity that could never return. Instead, both have to face the irrevocable fact of the internet. There's always another choice. I'm John Pareles.